Like you said, I'm Esther. I'm actually going into my junior year at the University of Iowa, for those who don't know, and I am studying human physiology on the pre-med track. These past years have definitely been filled with difficulty with classes, with, you know, trying to just fulfill that desire in my heart to be a physician, to go into medicine and things like that. And so what the Lord has really put on my heart over these past couple of years is surrendering that plan to Him, giving up that dream and following His plan, whatever that looks like in my life. And so today I'm talking about living in light of eternity and what that looks like with success and what that looks like with our dreams and our passions and our achievements in this life. So if you would stand up with me in honor of God's word, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 3. We're looking at verses 9 through 11. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today. We glorify you. I just pray that I would be a vessel of your spirit, Lord, that every word that I say, Lord, is coming from you. I just hide behind you, Lord. You are speaking, Lord, and that you would just soften the hearts of many and that your words would sink in today, Lord. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. So yeah, looking at verse 9, the worker's toil, what do we gain down here? What has eternal value in the work that we do and the passions that we have? What has eternal value? And God has set eternity in our hearts. We long so much for purpose in this world. He's setting eternity in our hearts. So we're working towards eternity. So my first point is redefining success. How can we look at our goals through a Christ-like mindset? The American dream. You know, we're working hard. We are accomplishing our dreams. We're earning awards. We want to make our name known. Our culture and society really preach this. You know, we have to be busy all the time. We have to keep going. You know, for me, that looks like, you know, clubs, organizations, trying to get hours in, going to school, just filling our time with so many things. This performance-driven life, stay busy, right? Have these goals, have achievements that you're working towards at all times, right? And having goals in and of itself is not bad. But idolizing a result of this world over Jesus and losing sight of eternity and eternal value is what can be bad. We can work hard, but when we lose sight of Jesus, we've lost the point. Right? And so within that American dream and within working hard, we have to remember, what do we do down here that actually brings eternal value? What do we do down here that actually glorifies the Lord? And in our everyday life, that doesn't mean that, you know, we have to drop everything and go into full-time ministry or anything like that. But like, how can we glorify God and glorify Him in what we're doing right now and in what we want to achieve in this life? So I've met a couple friends in my college career that kind of exemplify this a little bit. So one friend was really interested in Christianity when she first came to college. We kind of connected, became friends, and it was really encouraging to see a newer believer, you know, express interest and seem really excited about the Lord and the gospel. And we would chat a lot about her wanting to come to church and her wanting to come to the campus ministry that I go to called Salt Company, which I really love. And we would chat about it a lot. We would meet up a lot and kind of talk about it, but never made it to church because every week it was like, I have a test coming up. I have an assignment due tonight. I have to do a club tonight. They meet on Thursday nights. They meet on, you know, Mondays, and I have an assignment due, so I have to be done with it before then. Just like coming up, you know, with these excuses. So she unfortunately never made it to church. Another friend was so on fire for God at the beginning of college. She had a major that was also hard, but was coming to church every week, was, you know, being faithful to the Lord, really, you know, giving it all to Him, and ended up prioritizing also achievement over relationship with Christ. Doing the same thing. It's like, oh, I have to skip this week. I have an assignment due. Oh, I have to skip this week. I have a test coming up. I'm not feeling confident about it. And so both of these girls kind of fell into that mindset of God can come later. Similar to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, saying that he must collect his father's inheritance. Jesus can come later. Jesus is saying that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And later on, he says that nothing is impossible with Christ, of course. But just what are we gaining in this life? What are we trying to, you know, gather here? Saying that God can come later and saying that trying to work towards these achievements before we encounter relationship with Christ. That's, you know, setting that up as an idol. That's putting that before Christ. It's a barrier that we have to Christ. So looking at eternal value, how can we switch our mindset from what we hear in society about goals to something with more eternal value? I mean, this life is so fleeting. It's gone so quickly. We think, oh, like, you know, our 80 to 100 years of life seems so long, but eternity is so much longer than that. So looking at 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10, this says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So this is saying, we long for heaven. We understand that eternity with God is close. We understand that the Lord has eternity set for us. That is our hope as Christians, right? That we get to spend forever with the Lord. And that's so encouraging, right? Our goal in this fleeting life is to please the Lord in everything that we do. So when we face him on judgment day, we can present to him a life full of faithfulness and trust in the Lord that we carry beyond this life. And our actions and our heart posture towards the Lord are what give us that eternal value, not the possessions and achievements and things of this life that we can so easily try and gather under our belt. And this also calls us to like identity and looking at who we are in Christ, right? Remembering that we are children of God first and that we have an audience of only the Lord. Only God is the person that we are trying to please in this world, not anybody else. When we are trying to achieve things like, you know, me trying to become a doctor, you know, I'm not trying to please myself and achieve this big thing that, you know, is the culmination of all of my hard work, but it's to glorify God throughout the process. It's to, you know, show him that, you know, I'm trying to be faithful to him in the passions that he gave me and the desires that he gave me. So when we find overwhelming fulfillment and success, it's evidence that we have forgotten our identity in Christ. We are not the sum of our failures and achievement. We are not the sum of that at all. And this is something that I've struggled with. You know, as being a pre-med student, a lot of the things we do are, you know, fail or succeed. And we want to have more successes than failures to keep moving on. And I realized that I was subconsciously believing this, that, you know, I am the sum of my failures and my achievements. And I realized that, you know, that's so wavering. It seems so steady. It seems, success is like something so steady, so firm, but it's really not. The only thing that is firm and steady, the only thing that we can put our identity in that is firm and steady is the Lord. And this is something that I really had to rediscover for myself over these past few years of college. God gives me my worth. God has given me my worth already. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is our identity right there. That was already given before I was even born, which is so comforting to know in this long journey ahead that I have still, that my worth is already put in place, that I don't have to worry about that. So eternity is long. How can we focus so much on this fleeting life? Like, think of like our life as like, you know, something kind of short like this, and eternity goes on forever in that direction. And we are trying to just plan for these little things in our life, like, at this point, like, I want to be here, and I want to achieve this by this point, and at this point, I'm going to be in this place, and I'm going to have this much money, I'm going to have this house, this career. But we have eternity to also look at, an eternal value. And like I said, inherently, these things are not bad. We can glorify the Lord in these things, and yeah, continue to just be faithful to him through these things, but forgetting eternity means forgetting so much of our relationship with the Lord and what the Lord has for us. If we also look at Luke 12, the parable of the man with the abundant harvest who stored grain, why are we storing up so many things on this earth? You know, as we get older and maybe we're storing things up. We're storing up money. We're storing up property, working towards a career that will at some point end. At some point, we'll move on to be with Christ forever, something so comforting. So when we forget about eternity, it's so easy for us to gather so many things down here, to gather, to feel like we need to be secure in something else other than the Lord. It's like, okay, we have the Lord, but I'm secure in this success. I'm secure in the money that I have. I'm secure in all these other things. And we forget that the Lord is the one who offers ultimate security, because past this life, those things are gone. We leave them here. So looking at that, how do we change our mindset and our outlook on our plans? Because they're not bad. They're not inherently bad. You know, the Lord has placed desires in our hearts and things that we want to achieve and do in this life. So how can we change our mindset and our outlook on our plans? And that looks like trusting and delighting in the Lord. So if we look at Isaiah 11, 2 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. So the Holy Spirit is working within us, giving us knowledge. We can trust and have peace over the fact that God sits outside of time and space. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He already knows the plans in this life that he has for us, Jeremiah 29:11. And we can delight in the fear and of the Lord and of the knowledge of the Lord. He knows where we're headed, right? He knows the steps that we're going to take, and he's guiding us towards that. He's guiding us towards his perfect plan and his will. So when we surrender our plans to the Lord, we're giving them to him. We're glorifying him throughout it. That is when we find peace and delighting in the Lord, and we can trust. God loves us so much. He loves us so much, and he's guiding our every step because he knows what's best for us, because he loves us, we can trust him and his plan, and that he knows what's best for us. So honestly, I didn't ever really see myself speaking. Funny story is, actually, right before Pastor Tom had asked me to speak, I told one of my roommates that I was like, you know, I could see myself doing so many things within the church, being on the worship team, being on a ministry team, anything like that, but I don't see myself speaking. And then Pastor Tom was like, hey, so do you want to speak at Intimacy with God? And I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. So just humbly accepting the Lord's plan, even if that means that you have to change course, that faithful action brings God so much glory, because completely turning our plans when we had something maybe so set in stone, we had an idea so set in our heads, and we give that to the Lord and we completely pivot, that gives him so much glory. And glorifying him, like I said, and pleasing him is the purpose of our life down here. It's the written will in the Bible that the Lord has given us. And that has eternal value. I'm a very big planner. Anybody who knows me, I plan my days out to a T, you know. I'm planning out my life, and I really had to work on surrendering to the Lord and having that word just sit in my heart and have the Lord change me with that word surrender continuously. Not a one-time thing, not a one-time, okay, at this point in my life, I'm going to surrender to you, Lord, and kind of move on from there. No, it's an everyday action of today, I'm surrendering my life to you, and tomorrow I will surrender my life to you, and the rest of my life, every plan I have, every day, I will surrender my life to you. And that, again, has eternal value. We have such a loving and personal God, right? A God that knows us so personally and wants us to, yeah, continue to follow with him and be faithful to him. And that brings me to my second point of how to practically live in light of eternity. And this looks like putting Jesus first, prioritizing undisturbed, uncompromised devotional time with the Lord. Having that time set aside daily, undisturbed, you're not going to compromise, you're not going to encroach on it with anything. It's this, the intimacy with God, the time that we have to go cultivate that intimacy with the Lord. And this is something that I actually have really struggled with over these past 2 years of college because of, you know, all the assignments similar to my friends that I mentioned earlier. Having these assignments due, having so many things that I felt like I need to check off of a checklist and do for, you know, my future as a medical professional. So many things that I have to have in a row. And I really relied on myself. I didn't trust the Lord. I didn't trust that, you know, he was going to help me to control my situation. I thought I had to control it myself. I had to make sure I got the grades. I had to make sure I was setting myself up for success. I had to make sure of all these things, and I wasn't bringing the Lord into it, to the point where, you know, I would be like, okay, I have wanting to have my Bible time in the morning, wanting to wake up and first turn towards the Lord and kind of being like, okay, but I have an assignment due tonight, so okay, I'm going to do that first, and then I'll push back my Bible time to later. And so I was relying on myself, and I had to realize that to destroy the idol in my life of achievement, I had to put God first in my day every day. And so I had to, yeah, put Jesus first, showing him that I prioritize him over everything. Secondly, taking God into your whole day, not compartmentalizing. So yes, like having that personal, quiet devotional time is really important. But also, you know, it looks like so many things like praying throughout your day, thanking God for all the things that he has done in your life, you know, memorizing scripture, reciting that scripture. Again, intimacy with God, bringing him everywhere. And if we look at Colossians 3, 1 through 3, kind of calls us to this as well. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Our whole life is to remember him, is to look at him and set our mind on him. That's our whole life. We have died to the old man. Our new life and our new focus is to focus on the Lord. And, you know, how awesome is it actually that we serve a God who doesn't forget us throughout the day, right? He doesn't forget that we exist. He loves us so personally. And we can so easily forget that he exists throughout the day. You know, we're so focused on other things. You know, the things that we're achieving are honestly so many other things. And just remembering that the Lord, like, is with us every single step of the day, whether we acknowledge him or not. So might as well give him that praise throughout the whole day, right? Might as well remember him. Might as well thank him throughout the whole day. Yeah, and trusting God with the ups and downs, surrendering to him fully. So this looks like maybe if you're experiencing disappointment, processing that with God. You know, the Psalms is such a gift for us. You know, it shows how we can cry out to the Lord and how we can still be faithful to him and show him that in the midst of disappointment that we still trust him, that we still want to be faithful to him, but that, you know, we're feeling the gravity of that disappointment. Remember, it is not the end. Sometimes the best comfort to me is the promise of eternity. You know, when it feels like, oh, I'm feeling so disappointed in this moment. I'm feeling like it's overtaking me. I remember the promise of eternity, you know? We have something beyond this life to really look forward to, no matter what. And also, trusting God with disillusionment. Expecting one outcome and not receiving it. So maybe you felt like the Lord was leading you in one specific certain direction and, you know, you're working towards it and it's seeming really promising and then it ends up not happening. Disillusionment, feeling like you've been cheating, feeling like confusion with the Lord or with others. Because maybe it's not even just the failure of yourself, but maybe it's someone around you who you feel like has failed you and is hindering your goals and your achievements and your success. Bring God into your hurt and into your confusion and let him fill you with peace that surpasses all understanding. When we feel like that, when we feel like, okay, where is the plan from now? When we have that and now what feeling, when we feel like, yeah, the Lord, you know, has brought us to a stop sign and we don't know which direction to turn, let him fill you with peace. He knows what's better. Again, he sits outside of time and space. He knows the plans that he has for us already, and we are just expected to follow him faithfully throughout everything. I recently, in my third semester, had a very similar situation where I felt really disillusioned. I have been wanting to be a doctor for a really long time. Since I was in elementary school, I decided I really wanted to become a physician. And, you know, I've been following that path throughout my whole life. And I got to this third semester and my classes just exponentially got so much harder. I was really struggling with my devotional life, like I previously mentioned, and with these classes, feeling like I'm working so hard towards something, and sometimes I wouldn't get the outcome that I expected. So, well, there was one time where I was really struggling in this class, organic chemistry, and, you know, was studying a lot for my upcoming exams, which is such a really hard class, honestly, and I got a test result back, and I had really failed this exam to the point where I was like, I might have to drop this course. And that doesn't sound so bad, but to me at the time, I was like, this is the worst thing that could happen to me. Like, I have to retake a course. I have to replan out my semesters here. I'm like, that is the worst thing that could happen to me. And I really had a meltdown, a breakdown of if I can't get through this class, how can I keep going? How can I continue on through med school, through residency, through so many other hard parts of this journey? And through that breakdown, kind of turned to the Lord and just heard him whisper to me, like, you put this above me. So clearly, you put this above me. This, you know, emotional reaction to something that, you know, I can so easily bring you peace and comfort through, you know, shows that you weren't fully trusting me. I put this desire, you know, in your heart. He put that desire in my heart to be a physician, to help others in that way. And I wasn't trusting that he was going to bring me all the way there and that he was going to fulfill that dream in me, or honestly, even just surrendering that to him fully and completely and maybe changing my course completely. Maybe that's what the Lord was calling me to in that moment as well. Like, you know, I might direct you in a different path. Like, will you be able to do that? Will you be able to fully surrender that to me? And so I kind of really sat with God and gave him that failure. And I later realized in that day after I had the breakdown that I was not going to fail the class. And so I feel like the Lord really showed me that in that moment to remind me that trusting him comes first, that I can plan my whole life out. I can plan it out to a T. I can plan it out by the minute, by the second, but that he is sovereign over everything and that no matter how much I plan, I have to be ready to give it to him. I have to be ready for him to change the whole thing. And so I surrender my dream of being a doctor to him, and in the same way, learn to do that same thing with success. So trusting God with your success and remembering the blessings of God throughout your life, remembering how God guided your every step to get to where you needed to be right now, remembering that the Lord is watching over you. He's a personal God. He loves you. He loves you. He knows you by name. And he's guiding your every step. Not, oh, he's guiding every step. He's literally guiding your every step. You have to trust that he is doing that. Trust that he knows what is best for you. Again, he's sitting outside of time and space. Something that we, you know, say maybe often, but I can't really actually comprehend as human beings who sit inside of time and space, that he really knows everything. So trusting, yeah, God with your success in that way. And that, again, gives him so much glory. The fact that we can, you know, do things on this earth and be such a witness to others in that way too, it's like, okay, we have all the success, we're not attributing it to ourselves. We're attributing it to God in everything that we do. So today, whether you're feeling that disappointment, maybe you're feeling like, I was really working hard towards something and now I'm feeling disappointed. I didn't get the job. I didn't get into the college I wanted to. I didn't get this award. I haven't achieved what I've been meaning to achieve by this point in my life. Maybe you're feeling that today. Maybe you're feeling that disillusionment. You expected an outcome. You felt like the Lord was guiding you in one direction, and now he's stopping you. He's bringing you to a stop sign. He's saying, I want you to sit with this, and he's not a God of confusion, so maybe today you have to turn to him today. You're feeling that disillusionment. You didn't get that outcome. Or maybe you're in a season of success. You know, the Lord has brought you to a place where you're feeling like you're succeeding. You're feeling that blessing. And I just encourage you to spend time in prayer in this upcoming time of worship that we'll have later, giving that disappointment to the Lord, trusting that he will comfort you, trusting that he knows you and that he knows your pain, trusting God with that pain of that disappointment or that disillusionment, trusting that God will reorder your steps. He will direct your path in the way that it needs to go. Or also with success, remembering his blessings in your life and things like that. To trust God and remove the barrier and burden of success in this life, the feeling that we need to achieve something, and giving that to God as well, and focus more on eternity and what has eternal value. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord Jesus, I just pray for those today who are feeling that disappointment, Lord, that you would just give them comfort. And that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding, that you would just lay your hand over their life and that they would feel your touch today, Lord. I pray for those who are feeling disillusionment. They feel like you've given them, you know, maybe a hard no, or maybe they've been affected by the choices of others that have affected some goals or achievement that they've wanted to carry out in their life, Lord. I pray that you would also give them comfort, you would give them peace, and that you would take away that spirit of confusion in them, Lord, that they would fully trust and adhere to your plan. And I pray for those who are also in a season of success, Lord. I'm so grateful that you're blessing your people. And I pray that you would just help them to glorify you with it. And I just pray for the rest of this conference, Lord, that we would just seek intimacy with you, that we would seek to glorify you, that we would seek that alone time with you, and just seek your presence these next couple of days, Lord, that you would just come and comfort us and be with us, that we would grow in that intimacy and in that closeness with you this weekend, Lord, and that we would carry that with us. We would carry that with us with our achievement of our goals, with our continuing on with our life, Lord, that we would just remember you. We would remember you throughout our day. We would remember you to have that personal quiet time with you, that we would cultivate that with you, Lord, and that you would just help us to prioritize you, because we need your help with that as well, that we would just, continue to remember you and glorify you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.